रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। अरण्यकांड चैप्टर नंबर 1। रामा मेक्स अ टूर थ्रू द आश्रमस। रिसाइटल बिगिंस नाउ। Then Rama entered another part of the forest that was of yore the flourishing kingdom of Dandaka, the king, cursed by Shukra to be a howling wilderness. The terrible forest caused him not the slightest fear, for the Lord and support of all beings can be harmed or disturbed by none of his creatures. They traveled for a while and came upon the groups of hermitages. Around them lay bundles of the sacred kusha grass for sacrificial purposes. Robes of bark were hung up to dry. The place was bathed in calm luster and glory engendered of the chanting and study of the Vedic hymns and a devout and conscientious practice thereof. The Mandehas, a clan of Rakshasas, attack the sun when he rises and sets, but they dare not approach him at midday when he shines in all his radiance and majesty. Even so, the Rakshasas carefully avoided the holy spot where these mighty sages dwelt. Fierce beasts of prey, foes by nature since the dawn of creation, laid aside their cruel instincts and abode there in harmony and peace. In fact, it was a well-known refuge and resort of all creatures that were afraid of the Rakshasas. Clean and neat within and without, the cottages were filled with the joyful sounds of happy beasts and birds. It was one of the loveliest spots on earth, and the devas frequented it to enjoy its beauties, and naturally the apsaras held it in great reverence and often danced and disported themselves therein. Spacious fire chambers, curious sacrificial vessels, deer skins, kusha grass to spread on the floors and altars, sacred fuel, water pots, fruits, flowers and roots met the eye in graceful confusion. Sacred trees grew thick all around, bending under the glad tribute of flowers and fruits. Sanctified by such holy rites as the Agnihotra, Vaishvadeva and Upasana, it resounded with the solemn Vedic chants, while flowers of rare beauty and perfume adorned the altars. Here and there, sheets of crystal water gleamed through the trees as the morning sun gently kissed the sleeping eyes of his favorite lotuses. Many a hermit dwelt there and many a sage. Fruits and roots they only fare, deer skin and dress of bark they only wear. They carried their load of years lightly. Some shone like the sun, some like the blazing fire. The other Maharishis were there of indescribable might and holiness and held in reverence by all. Like the world of Brahma, it was ever filled with the sacrificial chants and hymns and was illuminated by the presence and radiance of Brahmanas of unspeakable power and wisdom. Rama feasted his eyes with the beauty and loveliness of the place and loosened the string of his bow that he might not disturb or frighten the birds and beasts that ranged over the place. The Maharishis saw with their unclouded eye of spirit the Lord of all, who came down into the world in mortal disguise to rid it of Ravana and his unholy brood of Rakshasas. The Mother of Mercy came down with him, ever inseparable as Sita. Lakshmana belonged to his hierarchy and partook of his nature and essence. Rama is the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, the means and the goals. So they welcomed the party with hearts dancing with joy, even as the radiant moon ascends her throne on high to chase away darkness and its terrors. Rama came down among men in response to the cry of Mother Earth, sinking under the burden of sin and wickedness. Even as the moon in her full-orbed glory, he infused joy and delight into the hearts of those that beheld him. He passed through the dark forest like the moon through dark cloud banks. He was a goal they sought to reach through their tapas, worship, offerings, meditation, and study of the holy Vedas. They had till then enjoyed the bliss of his presence through the eye of spirit. Now they had the privilege and happiness to behold him with the eye of flesh, the supreme Vasudeva. Their hearts were wrung with pity and apprehension as they said to themselves, "These great ones, what misery and torture for them to toil through these pathless, dreadful woods. They showered potent blessings upon their heads to ward off evil and danger from them. He was their beloved champion and protector, and their hearts were ever turned to him with love and devotion. Their lives were spent in the lonely forests, ever centered in tapas and meditation. Nothing could disturb the serenity of their hearts, yet they could not take the eyes off the radiant form of Rama as he dawned upon their sight with his faultless symmetry of feature and limb. The witching glory that played about him, the delicate softness of blown blossoms, the gleam and the sheen of perfect pearls giving back rays of light. Men, animals, birds and fowls that inhabited the Dandaka had a rare feast of it to behold Rama, Lakshman and Sita of unparalleled beauty and glory and said to themselves, Lord of all, far beyond the reach of Brahma and the Devatas, deigns to come down on earth and seek us where we abide, like the holy waters of the river Ganga, rolling towards the spot where lies the helpless cripple. They could not take their eyes off him in their eagerness to drink of his supernal and enchanting beauty. The thrice fortunate rishis lodged Rama and his party in a lovely cottage. No wonder that the father of all receives a warm welcome from his beloved children. They made kind inquiries of welfare and honored them with due rites of hospitality. The welcome offered by the sages, resplendent as the Lord of Fire in His glory, was but the fruit of their long and faithful observance of Dharma. Ah, what untold merit did they lay up in their past births! Rama, exclaimed they, blessed are we beyond compare in that it is given to us to behold you, the Supreme Person. Our happiness and fortune are verily indescribable. They furnished the royal guests with fruits, roots, and other woodland fare. They were perfectly conversant with their duties as servants to the Supreme Lord and were permeated with the spirit of devotion engendered of a clear vision of His real nature. They laid themselves at His feet and with clasped hands exclaimed, Rama, you are the beginning and the end. You are the upholder of the duties of castes and orders. You are the sole refuge and shelter of such hermits as ourselves who groan under oppression and fear. You deserve best our heart's adoration in that you are the supreme deity. You deserve our welcome and respect as our king and ruler. In you lies the right and the power to protect the innocent and punish the guilty. You are the eye of the spirit and the light of truth to your people in that you lead them towards the highest good. The king governs his subjects infused with a fourth of the might of Indra and the other regions of the quarters. Hence, he deserves the worship and obedience of the world and the enjoyment of the pleasures it contains. Now, those regions hold their life and power from you. If mortal kings are so great and almighty, it is no wonder that you are the champion of Dharma and the sole refuge of the oppressed. Verily, it becomes you as a lord of all that has come down to save the worlds. Now, our misery is something that baffles description, and it behooves you to free us from it as you have dedicated yourself to the work. Ask not, do you desire it as a result of your meditation upon and efforts to reach me? No, it is a dangerous path where the slightest slip may ruin all. Hence we seek your protection on the sole strength of our residing in your dominions. It is utterly impossible to falter on this path. Say not, be it so, I will attend to it when my exile is over and I go back to Ayodhya. You are our king, our protector on the throne or in the woods. We cannot think of you apart from your omnipotence. You are beyond all limitations, the supreme lord of all, sole repository of infinite perfections. Keep away from us the rakshasas that stand between us and the bliss of meditating upon your world-entrancing beauty. other kings there are who have enough to do to protect their subjects through might of intellect and strength of armies. But you, the protector of the worlds, the hero of unapproachable valor, are never more powerful in your capital or less so in the forests. Say not, your yogic powers can do this for you more easily. We are vowed to life of tapas and have conquered the wrath that ruins it. Our senses are under perfect restraint. Hence we have it not in us to curse these rakshasas. Again, we are right in not taking it upon our souls because we have surrendered our souls entirely to you and have no will or act apart from yours. We have no right to defend ourselves even if we can. We have but to lay ourselves at your feet for good and for evil. Again, are we not among your subjects? Have we any other refuge? Have you deserved my protection, you may ask. Prapatti or surrender is our only wealth, our only tribute to you. And receiving it from us, we sincerely hope that you will protect us as return. Then they entertain their honored guests with roots, fruits, flowers, and other woodland products as became the servants of the Lord. Others were there who had walked through the various paths that lead to perfection. Of regulated diet, they engaged themselves only in such acts as were consistent with their level, and their hearts turned away from the opposite. They were too feeble in body to serve Rama otherwise than approach him with praise, reverence, and salutation. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.